I'm Dorothy Menefee, and I'm a master's student at Kansas State University, and I am doing research, doing this project here with Dr. Hedy Arachi, and Pavitra Arachiki, and Charles Rice. So my topic is understanding biochemical contributions to the resilience of soil organic carbon sequestration in soils from contrasting agroecosystems. So kind of a background on this is that a lot of why we're talking about carbon sequestration is because it's a major climate change mitigation and adaptation option, and I think that's something that a lot of us that are at this conference are kind of working towards. So soils store significant amounts of carbon, which is again important for climate change mitigation and adaptation, and different management practices have the ability to alter a soil's ability to sequester carbon, and understanding these mechanisms of soil carbon sequestration can help us better make recommendations for protecting sequestered carbon. So one of the main methods of soil carbon protection and cycling has to do with the microbes that are in the soil. So there are millions of different microbes in the soil, and these microbes are all really crucial to the ability of a soil to sequester carbon. Microbes use soil carbon for energy and release it as CO2, but they also produce stable carbon compounds as byproducts that can actually sequester carbon. So the types of microbes that are present in a soil can affect what types of carbon compounds are being broken down and what types of byproducts are being produced. So the four groups that I'm looking at are fungi, which are typically linked to higher soil organic carbon, and they're pretty sensitive to physical disruption. Actinomycetes, which are a type of gram-positive bacteria, gram-positive bacteria in general, and then gram-negative bacteria. So the main objectives of this project are to understand how changes in temperature and moisture affect soil microbial community structure, and to understand how these changes affect the stability of sequestered carbon under different management practices, and then to understand how these changes can improve our understanding of soil carbon cycling and the potential for soil carbon sequestration. So this is a 6-month incubation study looking at four different soils, a no-till soil from Kansas and a conventional till soil from Kansas, and then a no-till soil from Brazil and a conventional till soil from Brazil. There are three temperature treatments, 12 degrees Celsius, 24 degrees Celsius, and 36 degrees Celsius. And then there's we're doing two moisture treatments, field capacity, and then 80% of that. And then we're doing an aggregation treatment, one where the soil is left intact and the other where the soil is crushed and then sieved to 0.25 millimeters to simulate a disruption. And then there's three replicates for each combination of treatments. The Brazil soil is the one that I'm going to be focusing on for this presentation due to time constraints. So it's located in Cruz Alta, Brazil, and it's a humid subtropical climate with an average annual temperature of 19.2 degrees Celsius and 1,700 millimeters of rain a year. And it's under a 3-year rotation cropping system of soy, oat, and vetch, and then corn, oil, radish, and wheat. And it's, again, it's split between conventional tilled and no-till, and it was established in 1985. So the oxisol that the Brazil side is that we're focusing on is a rhodic haploid ox, and it's about 54% clay, which is mainly kaolinite and iron oxides, and it's a well-drained site. So this is just the conventional tilled site, and right now it's planted to soybeans. So destructive sampling for biochemical analysis was taken at 7 days, 30 days, 60 days, 120 days, and then 180 days. And then microbial analysis was done using phospholipid and fatty acid, or PLFA, biomarkers. And then chemical analysis was done by Pavitra Arachiki, and she's another person on this study. And statistics were done with R3.13. So this is the soil sample that is sieved, 2.25 millimeters, and then that's the soils in incubation. That's visible microbial growth on the sample, on the soil. So as the incubation study went on, we had to take the soils out of the incubator every few days to adjust moisture content so that the water content was stable. So whenever we did that, we would kind of document if we saw microbial growth on the surface of the soil. And then as part of Pevithra's chemical analysis, we took gas samples for CO2 release from the soil samples. So this is the extraction of total lipids, which is part of the PLFA process. And then the PLFAs are analyzed using a gas chromatography mass spectroscopy. So I'm going to be presenting the results for intact soil and then for crushed, and this is for the Brazil soil. So this is 7 days, just stats table. So we noticed differences with the fungi and the actinomyces at 7 days. So we have fungi more prevalent in a no-till system, which is something that's pretty well cited in literature. And then we actually had the opposite trend with the actinomyces. And we also had more actinomycetes at higher moisture contents. So the actinomycetes and fungi are kind of following opposite trends. Actinomycetes do tend to be more resistant to disturbances like tillage, but they don't sequester carbon as well as fungi. Their tissues are made of peptidoglycan because they're a gram-positive bacteria, and that's less recalcitrant than chitin, which is the main tissue of a fungi. There's been a number of studies that have shown a reduction in fungal biomass is correlated to reductions in soil organic carbon storage. So this is our total organic carbon, and there's more than just the fungi behind this, obviously, because it's a completely different management practice, because you'd also have disturbance in the till system, so we do have more organic carbon under the no-till system. And this is for 30 days and 60 days, and kind of what we're seeing changes. We didn't see anything at 60 days. Maybe things are starting to equilibrate a bit. But at 30 days, we're still seeing differences with fungi, and we're also starting to see some differences with gram-negative bacteria. So again, we have more fungi under the no-till system, and we have more fungi at lower temperatures. So gram-negative bacteria are more prevalent under the lower moisture content, and this one of the kind of hypotheses that we have about this is that it might be related to lower oxygen availability at the higher moisture content. Even though we're trying to keep the system aerobic, we do have aggregation occurring, and there might be some anaerobic sections inside of the soil aggregates. So the trend of higher fungal activity in no-till soils is still prevalent, and the reduced fungi activity has been cited in other studies for higher temperatures, and reduced fungi activity, regardless of cause, is correlated with a decline in soil carbon storage. So what Rice did in this study was that they took a Konza prairie soil, a native prairie, and applied a fungicide to destroy the fungal tissues without disturbing the soil, and that actually caused a reduction in soil organic carbon and in soil aggregate stability. So long-term reductions in fungi due to elevated temperature could have negative impacts on soil organic carbon storage. And this is for S4, which is 120 days, and we're still seeing differences with tillage and fungi. And then more on actinomyces and gram-negative and gram-positive bacteria. So again, there's more fungi under the no-till system, and there's more actinomyces under the tilled system. So with gram-negative bacteria, we're actually seeing more of them under the tilled system, and that kind of sort of makes sense, and under higher temperatures, it sort of makes sense given the growth patterns of gram-negative bacteria. They tend to grow fast and consume more labile carbon, which in a tilled system, you'd theoretically have less protection of the labile carbon, and that's more availability to the microorganisms. So Tillage reduces physical protection, making labile feet more vulnerable to microbial attack. And the gram-negative bacteria do tend to grow optimally near 36 degrees Celsius, which is probably why we're seeing more activity at the higher temperature. And higher temperatures can also lower activation energy requirements for carbon degradation. So a soil organic carbon compound, like a particular chemical compound, might be unfavorable or for microbes at a lower temperature, but at a higher temperature, the same compound can be favorable. So we have this is kind of just a sample activation energy chart. So when you raise the temperature, your activation energy requirements are lower just because basically the position where the reactants are is raised. So this would go up, meaning that the same compound would become favorable for microbial use. So this is some of Pavitra's data on the labile carbon, and we are seeing a reduction in labile carbon at the higher temperature, particularly in the no-till soil. And then we're seeing lower labile carbon overall in the tilled soil. So labile carbon with the no-till soil under lower temperatures, we're seeing higher labile carbon because there's protection mechanisms. And at the higher temperature, the protection mechanisms might be not functioning quite as well, so you have a reduction. And then in the tilled soil, the protection mechanisms aren't there because you don't have the tillage structure as much, so you're going to have less overall labile carbon. So then I'm going to quickly go over some of the results for the crushed soil. So in the beginning of with the crushed soil, we didn't see any differences with the treatments, and this is probably because we completely crushed the soil and kind of brought it to an equilibration point. So this would have been after 7 days of the incubation at temperature, but that was preceded by a pre-incubation period. So, but at 180 days, which is the end of the study, and I know I'm kind of skipping some time periods, but we have a bit of a time constraint. So we see a number of differences at the end of the study. So we have differences in fungi, actinomyces, and gram-positive bacteria, and I'm going to be focusing on the fungi. So the fungi, again, are more prevalent at lower temperatures, there's been no changes in total biomarkers. So this means that bacteria are likely becoming more dominant under higher temperatures, and this is correlated with a reduction in soil organic carbon sequestration potential. So climate change has the potential to decrease soil organic carbon, mostly affecting more labile carbon compounds. And altered climate does alter the soil microbial community structure, which has the potential to reduce the carbon sequestration potential. And vulnerability to this altered climate is greater in more disturbed systems that lack the physical protections that you'd find like with no-till. So adoption of conservation practices does have the potential to reduce the impacts of climate change on soil organic carbon storage. And then I'd like to just thank everyone that's in my group that helped me, and the funding was from NSF. All
thank right. you. Okay.